Once I drifted out in sin, had no hope nor joy within, and my soul was burning down with pride. Then my Savior came along, and he showed me I was wrong. Now I know I'm on the winning side.
Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes,
I am on the winning side.
Out in sin,
no more will I abide. No more in sin abide.
I've enlisted in the fight.
For the cause of truth and right.
Praise the Lord.
I now am on the winning side.
From the straight and narrow way, I was drifting every day. Out upon the water deep and wide.
But it all is over now. Glory light is on my brow. And my soul is on the winning side. I will never have a fear, for my Lord is ever near. And in him so often I confide. He's the keeper of my soul, since I gave him full control. And he placed me on the winning side.
Well, I am on the winning side. Yes,
I am on the winning side.
Out in sin,
no more will I abide. No more in sin abide.
I've enlisted in the fight.
For the cause of truth and right.
Praise the Lord.
I am on the winning side.
Out in sin, no more will I abide.
No more in sin abide.
I've enlisted in the fight.
For the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side.
For those of you wondering why I'm not in the group, there's a good reason. I'm just too good, is what is really what it is, and I don't want to embarrass anybody. And if you believe that, I have some beachfront property in Arizona I'm trying to get rid of, so let me know after the service. Ephesians chapter number three. And while you're turning there, we're going to start reading in verse 14. When do you find that, if you want to stand up for the reading of God's word? Ephesians chapter number 3. Read verse 14 down to verse 21 of Ephesians chapter number 3. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and depth, and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that in you there is a strength, a power that is incomprehensible to this world. But that when we walk in your love and abide in your Son that is available to each and every one of us. Well, thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If there's one thing in this world that we're missing, it's that sense of power, the sense of strength. If there's one thing we see missing in our country, it's the sense of power and strength of what true authority and true true living used to be like. I'm too young to probably remember what it was like, but I do remember it being a lot different than it is right now. I'm probably too young to remember what it was like back when churches were full and people were excited. But I have been in churches that were full and people that were excited. And the power that was there and the strength in that group. I have been on bus routes and been in colleges and been in services where the strength and the power of God was real. I have walked sometimes, not as much as I probably should, but I've walked sometimes in my life in that strength and in that power. And if I look at myself and I'm honest with myself and I look at myself in the mirror, if I were to ask myself a question, what am I missing the most? It would be this strength, this power that comes by walking in Christ's Spirit. We see here in Ephesians that the prayer of God, the whole purpose of Christ, the whole reason for the existence of mankind is really to realize the riches of God's glory and to be strengthened in that, to have that strength, to have that power. We're not talking about physical strength. We're not talking about strength in finances or monetary strength. We're not even talking about numbers, okay, even though I think God wants everybody in church that can possibly be here. We're not even talking about strength in numbers or some grand program. We're talking about an inner strength, a strength where you know you're in God's will. I don't know if there's ever been a day, a time, a place in your life where you knew 100% for sure that you were in God's will and you felt God's power fall. I don't know if you can remember that. I don't know if you've ever had that. But in those times and in those moments when you feel God's strength real in your life, that's really what it's supposed to be like every day. And so I'd like to just take a moment and really just talk to me, because I need this probably more than anybody in here, but about being strengthened. And what it really means to be strengthened in God. This whole world was created by the strength of God. If we were to compare the strength of God, if you were just to look in Genesis in chapter number 1, verse 2, it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Just the Spirit of God moving across nothing created everything that we see. Think about that. I mean, I think of the strength it takes to make a building, or you think about the strength it takes the creative strength it takes to paint a painting, or the mental strength it takes to write a poem, or the physical strength it takes to build a car, or to design something, or that's all kinds of strength, but the unparalleled strength of just the Spirit of God moving, just Him walking past it, just Him gliding along, creates the world in which we live and dwell. That's some strength. I've never just walked past something and anything good happened from it. I mean, I've walked past stuff and stuff broke, you know. I've walked past stuff and bad things happen, but just me moving past something, nothing ever good happened from it. But just God's Spirit, just moving past this void, creates this. We haven't even begun to understand the way our world works, the way our body works, the way everything works. We haven't even begun to understand it, and God's Spirit just moved past it and created it. So where does this strength originate from? I think if we looked at that verse there, it originates in the Spirit. Verse 16, it says that granted according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit. The strength that I'm talking about originates with God's Spirit. In Zechariah chapter number 4, verse 6, it says this, "Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Micah chapter number 5, verse 4 says this, "And he said, Stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, and in the majesty of his name, the Lord is God. And he shall abide, for now he shall be great unto thee to the end of the earth." In Psalms chapter number 59, verse 9, it says this, "Because of his strength I will wait upon thee, for the Lord is my defense." In Psalms chapter number 46, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble." This strength comes from God. It doesn't come from some ritual. It doesn't come from just walking into a church building. God wants you in church, obviously. He died for the church. Going to church is important. Strength doesn't come from giving offerings and tithes, although giving offerings and tithes is commanded from the Scriptures and something we're supposed to do. Strength doesn't come from good deeds or good works. It's not there's not some sort of ladder that you have to climb to get this. There's not some sort of ritualistic religion, as the world would quote-unquote call what religion is. It's by the Spirit of God. And because of the Spirit of God, I do those things. And because of the Spirit of God, I'm able to accomplish things. But if I do those things without the Spirit of God, there's no strength. There's no power. There's nothing. It's just a routine. We might as well just sit at home and watch TV because there's nothing going on. There's nothing happening. Nothing's changing. Nothing's growing. But God doesn't want that. God wants you to feel strengthened. God wants something to be changing. God wants you to feel power. God wants you to realize that the power doesn't come from some sort of ritual, some sort of magic potion. We don't sell holy water here, but we might try. I mean, you know, we're having the garage sale. We might have some holy water. No, I'm joking. Okay, I'm joking. Brother Brad's going to bless some prayer hankies, and we're going to have those for sale there. And send $19.95 plus shipping and handling to, no. But all this stuff is all good and well and in its place, but it means nothing without the strength that comes from Christ. Doesn't matter the program. Doesn't matter the meal. If the power of God isn't there, if the strength isn't there, then what is really, there's no substance. It's all show. It's all flash. So the strength comes from God's Spirit. The great thing about the fact that the strength comes from God's Spirit is that the strength is available to just about anybody. The strength is available to just about anybody. Psalms chapter number 68, verse 35 says this, "O God, thou art terrible out of the holy place. The God of Israel, the God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God." If you're one of God's children, if you're saved in this room tonight, if you know you're going to heaven, if you have a biblical reason for salvation, if you know what it means to put your faith and trust in God, then you've experienced the strength of God at least once in your life. I mean, how much strength does it take to snatch you out of hell? How much strength would it take to snatch somebody out of a burning building? Pretty much, I mean, to run in there and all the gear they put on there and the strength that would be involved and you were snatched out of hell. You were snatched out of hell. You've experienced at least this strength. If you're saved tonight, you've experienced at least this strength once in your life. Because without that strength, we'd all be going to hell. Without that power, we'd all be destined to hell. Because it wasn't by my strength that I got saved. It wasn't some ritual. It wasn't some prayer. Okay? It wasn't some, candle that I lit or some money that I gave. It was by God's strength that I was saved. So this strength is available. I like this verse. It covers both ends of the spectrum. I like the way God does that. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, it says, He giveth power to the faint. So tonight, if you feel faint, if you feel weak, He gives you power. If you feel like you can't do it, He gives you strength. If you feel like you're not able to receive the strength, it says it gives you strength to the faint. But then he says this, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. So maybe you have a little might, maybe you have a little strength in you, maybe you're doing something for God, but he says, you know what? I can increase that. Hey, maybe you are running the bus route, but you know what? I can help you with that. Hey, maybe you are doing what you're supposed to do, but I can increase that. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to stay where you're at. There's always more strength available. I don't know if my dad's ever told this story or not, and he probably has, but there was this penny candy store that you would go into. I don't know where it was at. It was some town. We'd drive there, and our dad would always take us there, and they had this bucket of candy sitting at the door, and there was a certain amount. I don't remember what it was. A nickel or whatever, and you could a handful of candy. You got a handful of candy forever, quarter, whatever. Get a handful of candy. And so my dad, you know, put four quarters out there. There's four of us. And, you know, Jessica's the oldest. She went first, got her handful of candy, put it in a little black paper bag. I went second, got my, you know, one hand, you know, get as much candy and put it in the bag. My brother, my younger sister Jeanette, does the same thing. We're all trying to. And then my brother, the baby, he was here the other day. But he's the blue-eyed, blonde-haired little, he's spoiled rotten. That's what his problem was. Nobody ever loved me like that. I just feel. But he goes to the guy there. He goes, can it be anybody's hand? Yeah, it can be anybody's hand. He asked my dad, can you get me my candy? And I always think about that as the demonstration of God. You know, the power is available. The problem is you're using the wrong thing to grab it. I mean, I don't know how old I was, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. My hand was not as big as my father's hand. You know, and he pulls out, we had those little, brown bag lunch bags. You know, I had my little bit in there, and we all had, and then my dad's hand. And it fills the, and we were all mad, by the way. We were not happy about this. We all thought this was unfair and, you know, cried about it. But it did teach me something, that there's more available. You just got to know who to ask. There's more available to you than what's going on. We always want to put ourselves in this, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough intelligence. Lord knows if I can do it. If intelligence matters, you're looking at somebody who has like the intelligence of a retarded tortoise. So intelligence, strength, good looks. You got God. You have God. I mean, the strength is available. Not only is the strength available, but the strength is almighty. In Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 21, it says, as far above. I don't know how far above is, but I'm pretty sure it's far above. I mean, I looked in the Greek under the word far above, and it just said far above. Not really. But far above, that's pretty far. Far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. Christ is far above that. His strength is so far above anything that exists. So far above it. Colossians chapter number 1, verse 11 says, strengthened with all might according to the glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Think about that. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. That strength seems almighty to me. Not only is this almighty, But it's all sufficient. Why don't you turn here? I really like this set of verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. These verses are just really encourage me. And so I want you to see them. Maybe mark them in your Bible, circle them, write them down on a note card. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verses 7 through 10 say this, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the arms of righteousness, unto the right hand and unto the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and yet behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. See, Brother Jason, that's what we can give them that that other church can't give them. They can't find that at the other church. And I'm not speaking bad of a church that actually preaches the Bible, but there's a church that doesn't believe anything that God believes, and it's taking some of the bus kids, they're following us around, taking some of the bus kids, and the encouragement is they don't have that. They don't have that. There's something that you have as God's children that other people don't have access to. You know, you may be unknown, but one day you're going to be well known. You know, you may be dying. We're all dying, you know. Some of us are just closer than others, and we don't know who that is. But yet, we live. You may be persecuted, and trust me, if you share God, you're going to be persecuted. I mean, they killed Jesus, the nicest, most loving man ever to exist, and they nailed him to a cross. So if they did that to him, they're not, you know. But you're not killed. They can't stop it. They can't stop it. As sorrowful, it is sorrowful, working with some of the people that we work for, work with, seeing some of the situations that we find ourselves in, both yourself and the situations and the people's lives in which you try to invest in. It's very sorrowful. It's not always a pleasant experience. It's not always a pleasant experience when you walk into a person's house and try to present the gospel to them and try to change their life. It's not always a pleasant experience. It's sorrowful. The Bible says, he that goeth forth weeping. There's weeping involved. Jesus Christ wept. Man of sorrow, the Bible says, acquainted with grief. But that sorrow, yet always rejoicing. There's a knowing in this strength that even though it's a sorrowful situation, you possess the power that can change it. As poor. I mean, you know. Now, if you have money, then God's not against you having money, you know. But, you know, I don't think anybody in here is, you know, would consider yourself rich. Maybe, I don't know. But as poor, it doesn't matter what station of life you are in, as poor, yet making many rich. Hey, anybody that works in our Sunday school classes, anybody that works with the people, anybody that greets somebody at the door, anybody that ushers, anybody that prays for this church, anybody that does that, one soul saved. It'd be all worth it if we did that from now to forever and we only had one person ever walk this aisle in this church and one person snatched from hell. If only one person's marriage was put back together. If only one person got right with God. If it was only ever one person. But you've seen many be made rich here. You've seen many. Many. And you may never see that person again. But one day you will. One day you will. Many have been made rich. No, we're not handing out money. We don't have the biggest programs. We don't have the fanciest whatever. And then, hey, look, this is beautiful what they've done. It's nice, and it's not bad to have nice things, and God will bless you. But we get so wrapped up sometimes in, oh, it's not. Though poor, many have been made rich. Having nothing. Having absolutely nothing, but yet possessing all things. So not only is this strength all sufficient, this strength doesn't just come from God, but there's a purpose. The strength, if we looked over in our text verse, it says to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by the faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. The strength is to give you the ability to stand, to be rooted, to be planted, to stand. That makes me think of a verse in Psalms chapter number 1, verse 3. It says this, but he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. To be planted in God's word. There is a strength that comes from God's word that can't be explained. There's a strength that comes from truth that lies cannot take away. There's a strength that comes from knowing God that no powers on this earth can shake. And that strength is to stand in God's word. In the faith of the scriptures. Hey, look, it doesn't matter what other people tell you is true. It matters what the Bible says is true. It doesn't matter what new philosophy people have. If it's not in the scriptures, it's not true. It doesn't matter how many people claim it to be true. It's not true. The scriptures are true. They've been proven over and over and over and over again. They're true. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to wonder, I wonder if that's... No. Does it say in the Bible? If it's not in the Bible, it's not right. If it's in the Bible, it's right. I can have the strength to stand on that. Not because I'm something special, not because I know it all, but because God knows it all and because he put it down there. I don't stand in my strength. I'm standing in the faith of the Bible. Not only am I standing in the faith of the Bible, but it gives me power to stand in the face of man's wisdom. You know, man's wisdom does not agree with God's wisdom. Billions and billions of years ago, there was a big, gigantic bang, and some ooze crawled up out of this primordial sludge and sprouted some hands and feet, swung on a tree for billions of years, and poof, you got here. That's man's wisdom. That's man's wisdom. You know there's large amounts of people in America that believe the world's flat? Seriously, no, this is not a joke. There are people that believe the world is flat. Not a joke. There are videos on YouTube that got... There's some quote-unquote biblical evidence. They believe the world is flat. It's man's wisdom. It's man's wisdom. Man's wisdom tells you you're a product of your situation. You are the way you are because, your parents treated you this way, or the school you went. The reason why our kids aren't good is because the schools are bad. The reason why our kids aren't good is because their parents are bad. The reason why he's not good, Brother Jason or Brother Micah, the reason why they're not good is really it's because of their situation. No, the reason why they're not good is because they're sinners. It's their choice. They chose to sin. Was sin more available to them? Yes. But they chose it none the same. You are a product of your choice. You're not a product of your circumstance. But that's man's wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 5 says this, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Your faith shouldn't stand in how eloquent your pastor is, although I think he's pretty eloquent. Your faith shouldn't stand in how nice your church is, but I think your church is pretty nice. Your faith shouldn't stand in what so-and-so or such-and-such taught you. Your faith should stand in the power of God. Because in the face of man's wisdom, that's all that's going to stand up. Stand, Galatians chapter number 5, verse 1 says this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty in which Christ hath made us free, that being not engaged, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage." See, so many people want to think that this religion, this conservative mentality that the Bible teaches brings bondage, but true bondage is not brought by this. Actually, this brings you the most liberty. True bondage is brought by sin. But that's against man's wisdom. Philippians chapter number 1, verse 27 says this, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Stand in the face of man's wisdom. And then stand even in the face of the devil. See, you're no match for the devil. You on your best day and the devil on his worst day, you're no match for the devil. He's a roaring lion. I don't know about you, but I would not want to get in the cage with a lion. I have no desire to it. If Akron Zoo calls me up and says, "Hey, Joe, you know the story of Daniel and the lions, then you just taught in junior church. Why don't you come down here? We want to try to reenact that. We're seeing." I think Brother Jason wanted to do that, actually. Prayed about it. Got peace that Levi wanted. I'm not getting in the cage. The devil is a roaring lion. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 11 says this, "But put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." See, in God's strength, in the strength that God gives you, the devil can't touch you. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 13, it goes on and says, "Therefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." So you're able to stand even in the face of the attacks of the devil. So what is this strength for? So the strength comes from God's Spirit. The strength gives us an ability to stand. But just standing there, really, what does that accomplish? What am I supposed to do with this strength? I think Ephesians tells us what I'm supposed to do with this strength. Verse 18 says this, Ephesians chapter number 3, where we started, it says, May be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What is this strength trying to get me to do? Why is God trying to strengthen me? What is he trying to strengthen me for? Yes, I stand against some things, but why am I standing? What is the purpose of my standing? I think in Ephesians it tells us the purpose of standing is to stand to know God's love. See, that's the most powerful force on this earth right now is God's love. I believe that if you get a taste of God's love in your life, if you get a taste of God's love in your life, that you will forever be changed. It's the love of Christ that saves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's God's love that saved us. It's also God's love that will keep me going. See, that's what we can offer in this little church that a lot of churches don't have, is the love of Christ. See, God only, we're learning a memory verse in the junior church, February being Valentine's Day, we're teaching them memory verse. And the memory verse we're teaching them is 1 John 4:7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." There's a psalm that goes with that. If you ask Brother Jason later after church, he'll be glad to sing it for you. But the power that is in God's love is what will keep you, even though you're poor, being rejoicing. Even though you have nothing, being excited about it. And that's really, I think, that's really what we're missing in my life. That's really what I think I'm missing in my life is the understanding of God's love. And dwelling in God's love. Number one, to realize this, you're going to have to realize that God is love. I didn't realize I had it typed out here. So the verse I just read, 1 John 4:7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." See, love only comes from God. You cannot love without God. If you're not right with God, you can't love your wife. If you're not right with God, you can't love with your husband. If you're not right with God, you can't love your children. You can like them. You can care for them. You can have compassion for them, but you cannot love them. Love comes from God. God is love. If God is love, then I got to get it from Him. Love is not a human emotion. Love is an attribute of God. Not only is God love, but God gives love. "But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Ephesians chapter number 5, that's Romans 5, 8. Ephesians chapter number 5, verses 1 and 2, it says this, "And be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in the love as Christ also hath loved us and has given Himself an offering as a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." 2 Thessalonians 2:6 says this, Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us consciation to the great, to the good hope through grace. 1 John 4:10 says this, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to die." Love is given by God. And then why is this love given? Love is given to quicken, to make alive, to be strengthened. Ephesians chapter number 2, if you want to turn there, verses 1 through 7. And I'll be done with this. Still got 5 minutes, I think. It's hard for me to read the clock. It's so far away. No, I'm joking. Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 1 through 7 says this, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past walked according to the world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom ye also had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." See, that's what the human emotion brings. I like this verse, though. "But God." Like, don't you like it when God butts in? Don't you like it when God butts in and says, "Hey, wait, okay, enough of that." "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might also show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. See, that's what the strength is for. This is what we're trying to get towards. Not only as a country, not only as a state, not only as a city, not only as a church, but as an individual. Me. I need that. I need that. When I don't have that, I'm verses 2 and 3. But when I have verse 4, I'm verses 5 and 6. See, I don't want to be verse 2 and 3. I want to be verse 5 and 6. But without verse 4, I can't get to 5 and 6. Without God's rich mercy, without his great love, I'm nothing. I got no power. I got no reason to rejoice. I got nothing to look forward to. I got a mundane existence where I go to work, I come home, I eat, I sleep. I go to work, I come home, I eat, I sleep. I go to work, I come home, I eat, I sleep. I go to work, I come home, I eat, I sleep. And eventually I die. That's it. Spend some money, have some fun. Did. But with verse 4, it changes all that. It quickens me. It brings me alive to a new form of thinking. And the problem is that my mind wants to go back, that my actions take me back. And I don't spend enough time worrying about verse 4. I spend too much time worrying about the cares of this world, about the prince and power of the air. I spend too much time worried about what I'm going to wear. I spend too much time concerned about this instead of just really focusing on what's really important. See, if I focus on the love of Christ, if I really get a good dose of God's love in my life, there's no telling what the world could do or what would happen if just one person was full of God's love. D.L. Moody said, "The world has yet to see a man fully committed to God." And I would say the world has yet to see a man or woman fully enveloped by the love of God. Because that's where change. When somebody loves you, you know. That's why these kids come on the bus. We don't give them what other churches can give them. They come because they feel loved. We don't have some flashy razzmatazz. They don't come because they like my singing. They come because they feel loved. They feel safe here. Part of them realizes this is what they need. And if you feel drawn, if you've ever felt drawn to Christ in your life, it was because you realized he loved you. He cared for you. Even though you have messed up, even though you deserve to go to hell, you realize that he loved you. And if you take that same power that drew you to Christ and let it draw you to other things in your life, there's nothing in this world that you can't accomplish. There's nothing in this world that this church couldn't do with a group of people with one spirit and one mind and one accord, focusing on that love of Christ, focusing on that power, and being strengthened and quickened. People will be running in here. Because the Bible says if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men to him. If the love of Christ is lifted up, you'll be amazed at what happens in your life. And you'll be able to look at it and go, hey, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by his spirit. It wasn't we did something different, it wasn't that we bought a bunch of TV ads, and I'm not against if we do that or whatever, you know. It's not a, we buy billboards, I don't care what we do, but it wasn't that. It was by his spirit, because we all got the spirit of love and unity. And you'd be amazed what would change. I would be amazed what would change in my life if I just worried about, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he hath loved us. And I realize what that quickening power can do in me and in you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the fact that you loved us. Thank you for the fact that there is strength available, that you want to strengthen us, that we don't have to live powerless. We don't have to live flailing around, confused. We can live standing in the strength that is given to us through your love. We can live standing in your faith. We can live and stand in the face of man's wisdom. And God, we thank you that this love is that this power is through your Spirit and it's available. Well, with head bowed and eyes closed, maybe there's somebody in here who say, you know what? I don't know if I've ever experienced Christ's love in my life. I don't know if that power has ever drawn me. I don't have a biblical reason for salvation. If somebody were to hand me a Bible and say, why would you go to heaven? Show me out of the Bible. Why would you go to heaven? I wouldn't know where to start. But I would like somebody to take a Bible and show me how to go to heaven tonight. Is there anybody like that saying, you know what? I really would like to know how I could go to heaven. Anybody, just raise your hand. Oh, we'll pray for you, and we could have somebody show you how to experience God's love for eternity in your life. And maybe there's some in here that says, you know what? I'm tired of being powerless. I'm tired of feeling weak. I'm tired of feeling like I'm mundane, like I have no strength. Will you pray with me that I would really start experiencing the strength that is available to me through God's love? Like I said, you know what? I really want to experience God's strength. I really want to be strengthened by his might in my life. Is anybody like that? Say, pray with me. I really want to be strengthened by God's power. Father, we pray for those that raised a hand, maybe some that didn't. Lord, I ask that every person in their heart and in their life would make a decision, Lord, to walk in the strength available to them through your love. Well, thank you for that. In your precious son's name we pray. Head bowed, eyes closed as the piano begins to play. If you raised your hand, or maybe you didn't, if you'd like to come forward and kneel for a moment and ask God to really strengthen you by his might, by his power, through his love, why don't you come forward right now?
Christians are praying. There's time for you if you need to come. What a shame to have a powerless existence when the power is available. Why would you dig a ditch with a shovel when you have a backhoe? Joe, thank you for the message. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Micah, can you step in a second real fast just to keep me on my toes here? And Vicki is here with us today, but continue to pray for her as they give her medicine to deal with the heart situation that's there. And then continue to pray for Mrs. Liebman as she deals with this breathing problem. What is that called? I didn't even get the first letter right. COPD. Okay. Culminary. Okay. There it is. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. There we go. she's getting to a point where when she goes in the hospital, there's not a lot they can do for her. So continue to pray for her. Of course, continue to pray for Dixie as she struggles with the cancer situation. Brother Christine, where are we at with the shoulders? Are we going to go back in and do some more surgery? Well, if they find a cat in there, you let me know. I'll come shoot it. We're not still live streaming, are we? I like cats, honestly. No cards and letters, please. My name is Micah. Address all cards and letters. Micah McCurry, 2330 East Avenue. So, going to have a cat stand in a week, so pray about that. Mrs. Albright? I refuse to answer on the grounds of being incriminate me. All right, keep praying for these folks. And a lot of folks have been sick, very, very, very sick. Pray for them, okay? And Jeanette. Yeah, pray for her. Also breathing problems. They're going to be running some tests for her and her situation with breathing. And so pray for these folks. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Father, I do pray, especially for the ones that have been mentioned, that you would touch them physically and help them and strengthen them. And I pray that emotionally and spiritually they would surround themselves with your love and feel confident that you know what's best in their lives and be able to trust you. Pray for our church that you bless us. Help us to be a witness and testimony everywhere we go this week. We invite others to come and share our faith that they might be saved. Keep us safe now on the roads as we go our separate ways, and bless our work tomorrow. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.